This is The Rounds Table.
Welcome back, Rounds Table listeners. This is one of your hosts, John Frayling. Today, I'm joined by a special guest. Justin Boyle is an internal medicine resident at Queen's University, and recently he's also joined us as the manager for the Rounds Table podcast. Today, in addition to his work that he's been doing behind the scenes, Justin's actually going to help us out with a rapid fire episode. And I don't know, how are we going to organize this? I mean, I'm talking about a smoking cessation kind of digital app, and he's going to be talking about olive oil. So some kind of preventative medicine, maybe we'll say. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for your introduction. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, great. So, you know, why don't we just get right into it? What is the paper that you're going to be telling us about today?
For sure. Today, I'll be talking about a paper entitled The Consumption of Olive Oil and Risk of Total and Cause-Specific Mortality Among U.S. Adults. It was published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology in October of 2021 and was published by Guash Ferre et al.
Okay, perfect. So what was the research question here?
The research question that they were investigating was really to assess if there was an association between olive oil intake and total and cause-specific mortality.
All right. So looking at the importance of olive oil, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff here, but why did you think this paper was important?
I thought this paper was important because in general, nutritional research is really hard to conduct. And so I think when there's any really large scale study such as this, looking at any dietary component, and if we have evidence to support its use in nutritional counseling for our patients, I think it's really cool. And in particular, olive oil is really important in the Mediterranean diet. And we recommend the Mediterranean diet to a lot of people because there are sort of generally purported benefits in sort of cardiovascular health. And looking through it, a lot of these sort of studies have been conducted in Europe, and this is really one of the first ones conducted in the North American context. So I was really intrigued to see what their results were.
Yeah, you know, I think just nutrition in general is so important for the job that we do, and we really don't get trained a lot in it. And, you know, all I really know is that, like, yeah, olive oil is an important part of this Mediterranean diet, but why is that? I don't truly understand it. So great, let's talk about it. So what was the design for the study?
The study design was quite interesting to me. It was very Framingham-esque in nature. The research group looked at two ongoing prospective cohort studies. The first was the nursing health study, and the second was the health professional follow-up study. The nursing health study, or NHS for short, was initiated in 1976 and included over 121,000 women aged 30 to 55 years. The health professional follow-up study began in 1986 with approximately 51,000 men aged 40 to 75 years. And all of these individuals were healthcare workers in the United States. And really, this was the inclusion criteria. You really had to be a healthcare worker, and you had to be within this age and demographic. Their exclusion criteria were really any participants with a baseline history of cardiovascular disease or cancer, any missing data that they've incurred either at baseline or during follow-up, and specifically regarding the consumption of olive oil, and also individuals who reported implausible amounts of food consumption. So anyone who ate very, very little, or anyone who reported that they ate a lot in terms of calorie content per day. And really, the structure of this cohort study for each of them were really mailing questionnaires biannually, so every 2 years, to assess any lifestyle factors and health status, with a follow-up rate exceeding greater than 90% for each two-year cycle that these questionnaires were mailed out. So they had a really good retention of participants in each cohort study. And really, the baseline analysis for each cohort was in 1990, when olive oil consumption was first included as part of the food frequency questionnaire. And quickly, a food frequency questionnaire is a validated semi-quantitative tool by which people can assess and quantify the different components of someone's diet. And in particular, they looked at olive oil consumption in sort of salad dressings, if they added it to any cooking or sauteing that they were doing, or if they would consume it in any other ways with food preparation. And they specifically, just to sort of highlight, they split olive oil consumption into four different categories and assigned participants into each of these four categories. So really, if someone consumed less than 0 grams of olive oil per day in their diet, they were categorized into one group. Individuals were split into 0 to 4.5 grams per day, 4.5 to 7 grams per day, and greater than 7 grams per day of dietary consumption of olive oil. They really tried to look at, as their main outcomes, sort of primary total and cause-specific mortality. And these causes were cardiovascular mortality, cancer-related mortality, mortality from respiratory disease, and mortality from neurodegenerative disease, such as Alzheimer's disease or dementia. And they also had sort of a secondary outcome, quote unquote, of estimating the risk of total and cost-specific mortality if you were to substitute olive oil with other types of dietary fat, so things like margarine or butter or vegetable oil, which was quite interesting to me. And sort of finally, they used a multivariable Cox proportional hazard regression model to really find hazard ratios and confidence intervals for these total and cost-specific mortality events according to the different olive oil intake categories. So they looked at each of these four different degrees of consumption and looked to see what the hazard ratios were with relation to mortality. And sort of finally, they did sensitivity analyses to really assess if they had a robustness of results and to assess for any confounding variables such as socioeconomic status, family income, home value, and percentage of individuals with a college degree.
Okay, very good. So two really big cohort studies. They had access to data on olive oil consumption. They categorized that and then they linked that with some mortality outcome. Does that sound about right as a kind of the summary for the study?
That is a great summary.
Okay, perfect. I like your detail, though. That's really important to know some of the meat of it, too. So, okay, tell us, what did the patients look like?
So the patients in both the nurse's health study as well as the health professional's follow-up study were quite homogenous in nature. So by the end of 2018, which is when this data was taken from, they had approximately 60,000 individuals in the nursing health study and approximately 31,000 individuals in the health professional's follow-up study. And really, like I mentioned before, these groups of individuals were split into the amount of olive oil they consumed. The average age between each group was approximately 56, but around 98% of people were white or Caucasian in nature. And I think that, again, sort of speaks to the fact that this was quite a homogenous population. Both groups had similar family history of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and they all had similar baseline dyslipidemia and hypertension profiles, and they all had similar BMIs of approximately 25.
Okay, so what did they find? What was the main result?
So really they found with respect to total and cost-specific mortality that having a higher olive oil intake and consumption relative to a low consumption improved your mortality and specifically your cardiovascular mortality. So the hazard ratio was approximately 0.81 if you consumed a high degree of olive oil relative to a low degree of olive oil. And moreover, there was a significant inverse association for total mortality and cost-specific mortality if you were to look at every single sort of endpoint they had of cancer-related death, neurodegenerative disease-related death, or respiratory disease-related death. And they also saw that for each 5 additional gram increase in olive oil consumption that you had, you also had an improvement in your mortality. And just finally, they saw that relative to other types of dietary fats, that you also saw that same improvement in total and cost-specific mortality.
Okay, that's pretty impressive. I mean, that's like a 19% reduction in your likelihood to die just from taking some olive oil at a higher frequency. And what's kind of interesting too is some of these other cost-specific mortality outcomes, like a 29% reduction for like neurodegenerative death, like interesting. Cancer, 19%, or no, I think that might have been 17%, but okay, so it seems like pretty big results. What do you think are some of the limitations here, though?
There are quite a few limitations in both the study design and sort of the composition of individuals within the study. First and foremost, this is an observational study, and so there's always the possibility of having any residual confounding factors that can't be ruled out despite adjusting for diet and lifestyle factors. Diets also come in and out of vogue. And so relative to things like margarine, for example, that may have been more popular in the 80s and 90s. I think people just consume less of that today. And so maybe that wasn't necessarily captured in the questionnaires that they were asking. Moreover, the study was conducted amongst a predominantly non-Hispanic white population of health professionals, which means that these individuals have great health literacy. They may have been well acquainted with things such as the Mediterranean diet. And so I think that you can't necessarily analyze out a lot of these socioeconomic confounding factors that were present within the study.
You've identified the big ones. Like, sure, our gold standard for evidence-based medicine is randomized controlled trial. But like, how on earth are you going to do this with like randomizing people to various levels of olive oil consumption? You're going to have to study these people for decades before you'd ever get these kind of outcomes. So sure, there's probably some limitations here. But I suspect it's going to be some of the highest quality data in general that we're going to get access to. Okay, what do you think the take-home point is here?
I think the take-home point is really that any degree of consumption of olive oil has a potential or possibility of lowering your risk of both total mortality and cardiovascular disease-related mortality, and that there's definite signaling to improving your health outcomes overall, regardless of which type of health condition you have, in particular things like Alzheimer's disease or lung disease. So I think that it's still important to counsel patients on consuming a Mediterranean diet.
Yeah, okay. So practice changing? Are you throwing out all your margarine and replacing it with olive oil or what?
I think that for me, the study really just underscores the importance of good dietary counseling and access to nutritional food.